Morning. Today's daf in Yuma is daf Yud Aleph. We are on the bottom of Yud Amud Beis, and we are continuing a discussion of mezuzah. The Gemara will take a turn today to discuss the halachas of mezuzahs. There is no mesechta dedicated to the topic of mezuzah. There's a mesechta ketanos. There is like a smaller mesechtos that deal with it, but there's no one mesechta that deals with mezuzah. So sporadically throughout the Gemaras, we're going to see sugyas on mezuzah, and today's daf being one of those sugyas. So how come we're talking about mezuzah? Aren't we learning Yuma? So the answer is, we're going to be talking about mezuzah because it segues from yesterday's daf. Yesterday's daf yud, so the Gemara was discussing whether or not the Lishkas Perhejan requires a mezuzah. Cohen's going to be living there for 7 days. So it's a home. It's a seven-day home. It's not a summer home. It's not a winter home. It's a seven-day home. So is that going to require a mezuzah, yes or no? What about the fact that it's in the Azara? Maybe already from that standpoint alone, it shouldn't require a mezuzah, so that... Stay tuned because we're going to touch on that topic later this morning. But in the meantime, however, maybe Lishkas Parhejan requires a mezuzah. So the Gemara said yesterday, it's machlokas between the Tanaim, whether or not the Lishkas Parhejan requires a mezuzah. Now, Lamaisa, practically speaking, there will be a mezuzah on the Parhejan chamber. Meaning when the Kohen Gadol goes to his new home for 7 days, there's going to be a mezuzah there. So that's not really the discussion. The discussion is that a din d'oraisa, is that a din d'rabbanan? So if you remember yesterday's daf brought down a machlokas between Rav Yehuda and the Chachamim in terms of whether or not this is a din d'rabbanan or a din d'oraisa. Well, what's the argument to say that it's a din d'oraisa? It's his home. It's his bias. Granted, only for 7 days, but nevertheless, structurally speaking, it's a permanent home. Right? Yesterday we pointed out that by the sukkah says diras arai, temporary structure. So structurally, it doesn't require mezuzah, the sukkah. There's no mitzvah mezuzah on your sukkah because it's diras arai. We pointed out yesterday, maybe according to Rav Yehuda, not maybe, but according to Rav Yehuda, because he holds the sukkah as a diras keva, so it would require mezuzah. Fine, but in other words, structurally speaking, your sukkah is a diras arai. But the parhedron is not a diras arai. It's structurally sound. It's a permanent home. So therefore, the Chachamim say it's chayv mezuzah. Fine. And Rav Yehuda says, no, it's pater. So why is it going to be pater according to Rav Yehuda? So the Gemara argued yesterday that according to Rav Yehuda, the reason why it would be pater is because it's dira bal karcha. In other words, a home is a place where you get to choose where you're going to live. If you don't get to choose where you're going to live, if you're told where you live, in other words, let's say you like prison, so that's not a dira. You can't call that a dira, and therefore there's no requirement of mezuzah. So that's what the Gemara said on behalf of Rav Yehuda.
You're commanded to live in a sukkah also. What does he get?
You're commanded to live in a sukkah. Okay, but in other words, but you could choose which. In other words, you could make your sukkah, you could choose your sukkah. All right, there's still an element of choice. Here, however, you're not told which sukkah to live in. Here, he's told exactly where to go. So Rav Yehuda says, bakar chalosh madira. Okay, so Rav Yehuda says, on those grounds, min ha-Torah, mid-dar reisa, there is no requirement to put a mezuzah there. So then the question is, according to Rav Yehuda, so why do we put a mezuzah there? So the Gemara says, and that was where we ended off yesterday, shelo yomer kohen gadol chavish beveis asurim. Because we don't want people to say, hey, look, he's locked up over there in the tower, in the parhedron chamber. And it's like a jail. So because, look, jails don't require mezuzah, and that doesn't require mezuzah, and that's a jail. So that people shouldn't say that, so therefore they put a mezuzah on it. Okay?
Is there anything wrong putting a mezuzah on the sukkah?
It could be. The bracha for sure is going to be an issue. I know, but you're not asking about the bracha. You're asking about just the placement of the mezuzah in of itself. I don't know. Okay, that's a fair question. That's what we discussed yesterday. That was our Gemara. That was our Gemara yesterday. We're going on today. Mantan lahadutan rabbanan. We're on the very bottom, the last line of Yud Amud Beis. And we continue. The Gemara is going to continue along this line of the machlokes between the Chachamim and Rav Yehuda, whether or not the Parhedrin requires a mezuzah min ha-Torah. So the Gemara says, let's consider the following braisa. Kol sharim shayusham la'yu olayim mezuzah. No gate entering into the Azara had a mezuzah chutz mishar nikanor. Now, argues in the Gemara has the word shar nikanor, the Nikanor gate. So it sounds like from our Gemara that we're talking about the eastern side of the Azar. If you look behind me, you could take a look. There are three entrances from the east. So as we've discussed already a number of times, there's an Nikanor gate, and along the two sides of it, there are what's called Pishpishim. There are small entrances entering from the east. So making a total of three entrances from the eastern side. That's the way it sounds like from our Gemara. What the problem with that is that we're talking about where the Kohen Gadol is residing for those 7 days. Where is he residing for those 7 days? So he's residing in Lishkas Parhedrin.
Right, right.
So Lishkas Parhedrin.
Right there.
Oh, right here. In other words, it sounds like, right. So it's right. It'd be a little bit, or whatever. Okay, I'll get back to the gears of our Gemara. If you take a look at the Gra, so the Gra says, no, not the Nicanor Gate. That's not what we're talking about. We're talking about the Mayim, right? The Shar HaMayim. Now the Shar HaMayim is directly opposite the Parhedrin. I mean, in Lishkas Mayim over here. It sounds like from the Gaon's Zigir, so that, and I'm not fully following this, but he would be entering into the, if he wanted to go to the Parhedrin, he'd be entering from the south side in order to go to the Parhedrin, and not through the east side. Okay, either way, let's make the basic point. Chutz Mishar Nikanor or Shar HaMayim Shlefnim Mimeno Lishkas Parhedrin. Because interior, that is the Parhedrin, meaning it's a way of gaining access to the Parhedrin. Therefore, it requires a mezuzah. Okay, so in other words, we're going to see this idea come up again and again. If you have a house and you have a gate accessing that house, or an entrance accessing that house, so that also is going to require a mezuzah. Okay, so what bothers the Gemara now is, who's the author of this braisa? Okay, so let's think about it. Leim Rabban Nivel or Rabbi Yehuda. Sounds like the author of this braisa is a chacham and not Rabbi Yehuda. Why? Di Rabbi Yehuda, he goof exeravan, a nekav negzer exer legzera. Because according to Rabbi Yehuda, it's strange. The Parhedrin itself requires a mezuzah, but according to Rabbi Yehuda, that's only midrabban. It's only rabbinically. It does not require a mezuzah in a Torah. And again, the reason why, as we described in the beginning of the shiur, is because it's Di Rabba Karcha. He's forced to live there for 7 days. So it doesn't require a mezuzah in a Torah. It only requires a mezuzah in a Rabbanan. And now think about it. The gate entering into the Parhedrin is also going to require a mezuzah. That's what the Brisa said. The Parhedrin itself only requires a mezuzah in a Rabbanan. And now you want to tell me that midrabanan, the gate entering into the Parhedrin, also is going to require a mezuzah? That's just strange. Gemara says it's hard.
It's a double gzera,
it's just strange. So the Gemara says, so ostensibly, the author of this price is a chachamim. That makes most sense. Why? Because the Parhedrin chamber requires a mezuzah min ha-Torah. Whatever is the normal method of accessing, of gaining access to it, either it's the Nicanor, which is our Gears of the Gemara, or the Shar HaMayim, which is the Gaon's Gears of the Gemara. Whichever way is the way of accessing, it's also going to require a mezuzah. Fine. So it sounds like the author of this brayse is a chachamim. Gemara says not necessarily. I feel tamer Rav Yehuda kula chadik zerahi. So the Gemara says okay. Yes, the Gemara says it could be that the author of this brayse is Rav Yehuda, and the Parhedrin only requires a mezuzah midrabanan, and the fact that the gate entering, allowing access to the Parhedrin, also requires a mezuzah, is all part of the same gzera. Shelo yomri. We don't want people to say that the Kohen Gadol is locked away in a jail. So therefore, to continue this, this appearance that he's like living in a quote unquote in a real house, so we're going to line the Parhedrin's going to have the mezuzah, the gate accessing the Parhedrin's also going to require mezuzah, period. Okay, Tanu Rabbanan Bisharecha. And so now, as long as we discuss mezuzah in the context of the Kohen Gadol, the Lishkas Parhedrin, so the Gemara now is going to take the opportunity to segue into a discussion of the halachas of mezuzah. Most of today's daf is going to revolve around what homes require mezuzah, what homes do not require mezuzah. A little bit in terms of which side of the entrance is going to require mezuzah, but that's not really our main topic for today. Our topic for today will be what is considered a residential house versus a non-residential house. That's basically going to be our topic for today. Everyone agrees there was a mezuzah in the Parhedrin. The only issue, which is not a small issue, is midaraiso, midarabanan, rabbinically or biblically. That's the only discussion. I'm not the only one, but that's the one that the Gemara centers around between Rav Yehuda and the Chachamim. Tana Rabbanan, the Gemara continues. We are on Daf Yud Aleph Amud Aleph, and I feel the time right. Tana Rabbanan, yeah, about six lines from the bottom, from the top of the Amud. Bisharecha echa shari batim ve'echa shari chatzeros ve'echa shari medinos ve'echa shari yaros. So the Torah says, in other words, not a lot of pasuk describing the mezuzah. You don't have to know a lot of chumash. Amuzos beisecha uvisharecha. Okay, good. Now we know the pasuk. We know the Torah Shebichsav. Now we go through the Torah Shebaal Peh. So the Gemara says this would be true for your Shari Bayis, the gates of your house, the Shari Chatzeres, the gate of your courtyard, Shari Medinos, the gate of your Medina, your city, and the Echad Shari Ayaros, and the gate around your city. Okay, Medina Ayaros. Right, in the Megillah, you keep hearing those two terms being used again and again. Medina, Medina, ir va'ir. Okay, I'm not exactly sure what the difference is, but one's larger, one's smaller. Okay, good. So, yesh bahem chovas mitzvah lamakom. So, in all these, there's a mitzvah lamakom. In other words, there's a mitzvah to put up a mezuzah on the gates that enter into all these areas. Mishim shenemar, uchzatam mezuzah beisechu visharecha. Fine. So, amalei abayla rav safra, good. So, now the halach is pretty clear. Meaning we start off from a point of absolute clarity, which is any time that you have an entrance into a residential area, it therefore will require a mezuzah. Good. The Gemara says, the question over here now is going to be a simple question based on a very clear braisa and what would seem to be a very clear conclusion. So let me ask you a simple question. The gates of Mechuzah, a popular town, coming up again and again throughout Shas. So Abayi says, can I bother you? Can I trouble you with a simple question? Mechuzah, the gates of it, doesn't have a mezuzah. Can you explain that? So my time of the Abdullah Rabbi on a mezuzah. So why didn't the rabbis put up a mezuzah there? The Amar Le, that's interesting. It says my time of Lo Avdulei Rabbanan Mezuzah. Why didn't the rabbis put up a mezuzah? Meaning, and as we just learned in the Gemara earlier, it seems like it's a din d'oraisa. It's not a din d'rabbanan. So maybe what the Gemara simply means over here is that the rabbis are responsible. Okay, maybe that's what the Gemara means. Either way, question's really simple. I'm not seeing a mezuzah here on the gates of Mechuzah. Mechuzah is a residential town. So Amalei Hanu Chazok Leekra Dikovi Huda Avidi. So answer number one of the Gemara is, well, you see, the walls over here are there just to support a tower. In other words, there's some sort of tower over there. If you take a look at Rashi, Binyan Banu Aleihem V'nikre Kovi. So there's a building built on top of these walls, on top of these gates. The name of the building is called a Kovi. V'asharim Tachtav Asun Kikipa. U'Binyan Abanu Agabi Kipin Chazak Yoser. So the walls over there are just there for supporting this kavui building, and so therefore it's not really an entrance. It's not really a gate. Okay, so the Gemara says Hanu Chazok Leikra Dekovi Hu David Amaleve Akra Dekovi Gufei Tibay Mezuzah. All right, but I'm still going to argue that's going to require mezuzah. Fine. So you want to tell me that it doesn't really qualify as a wall for the city because they're not there as a wall around the city. It's there just simply to lend a support for the structure above it. Okay, but it's got a structure above it, meaning it's got a building above it. So for that reason alone, it should require mezuzah. Da'is ba'dir, based here, l'shomer. L'shomer based asurim. Meaning there's residence in the wall. So for that alone, it should require mezuzah. Da'atayin, the Gemara says, look at the following braisa. Based ha'knesset sheish ba based dira. Let's say you have a shul. Now a shul does not require mezuzah. All right, I dare you to go to find a shul without a mezuzah. But every shul is going to have a mezuzah. Okay, it's like, but anyway, a shul does not require mezuzah. But the braisa tells us that if there's a base dira, if someone's living in the shul, right, used to be, back in the good old days, people lived in the shul. Right, you had a shamash living there in the shul. If there's a base dira to the shul, so lechazan akinesis for the chazan. Chazan over here doesn't mean cantor. Chazan over here means the shamash, the person taking care of the shul. Chayev has been mezuzah. So then that is going to require mezuzah. So now, well, let's go back to the gates of Mechuzah. Gates of Mechuzah don't have mezuzah. So right now, your argument is, well, because it's not really a gate for the city, there's a structure above it. And the walls over there are just gaining support for the structure above it. Okay, but a structure above it means someone's living in the wall. So it should require mezuzah for that reason alone. As the Gemara just quoted a braisa, where the braisa said, you have a shul. If there's a beis dira in the shul is going to require mezuzah. So Alam Rabbi, so the Gemara says, okay, we're going to abandon that approach, and we're going to try to give another approach. Again, question. Why do the walls in Mechuzah do not have a mezuzah? So Mishum Sakana. So the answer the Gemara gives is because it's a danger. What danger are we talking about over here? What threat is being posed? Let's take a look at Rashi. Rashi says Mishum Sakana. Shalo Yomar HaMelech Kshafim Asisim Bishare Iri. So right now, the way Rashi is describing it, sounds like we're not talking about a Jewish autonomy. We're talking about where the Jews have a city, but the city is outside somewhere in the Golos. And what's going to happen is that if we put a mezuzah on the gate of the city, so the king is going to get reports back. You know what those Jews are doing? Strange. They're putting some piece of paper wrapped up, rolled up on the front of the gate of the city. I don't know what it is. It's got some letters on it. And we will be accused of being engaged in kishuf, in sorcery and in magic. And the king's going to be upset with us. And it could pose a real threat to the Jewish population. So the city of Mechuzah does not have a mezuzah on its gates because of this concern of sakana, because of this danger. The Tanya, the Gemara says, and look, this is supportable. Let's look at the following braisa. Mezuzah yachin nivdakes pa'amayim b'shavu v'sharam and pa'amayim b'yavu. A mezuzah of an individual is checked once in a Shemitah. Twice every 7 years. Vishal Rabbim, now if it belongs to the public, Pamayim B'Yovel. It's checked twice in a Yovel, twice every 50 years. Why? What's the difference between an individual versus a public? So if take a look at Rashi. So Rashi explains, Pamayim B'Yovel, right? Rashi writes, "Kol davar shehu shel rabim, if it's public property like the gate of the city, ein lahatriach alav harbe." So Rashi writes, "Don't be so onerous to have them to require to check twice every 7 years." Sheim tetriach yekol echad omer yasu chaverai, because right, anyone who's involved in any organization, you know this feeling where twice every 7 years of a public mezuzah. Okay, you know what? I know he's going to take care of it, right? You're sitting down together at the board meeting, right, or the association meeting of the city. So who's going to take care of it? So it's right, he'll take care of it. We appoint to nobody. point an empty seat. Okay, but that's where Rashi explains it. Other Rishonim say differently. If you take a look at the Tosfos Rishonim, he says it a little bit differently, and it kind of fits in a little bit better into the context of our Gemara over here. He says, Why were the Chachamim more lenient when it comes to the mezuzah of the Rabbim? So, v'shal Rabbim nivdekes pa'amayim b'yovel. I'm reading from the Tosfos Yishanim. Perish b'kunshus, he quotes Rashi, ve'ein niridim kein, ma'ashayachasam milsad Rav Yehuda da'ar tavon. Well, okay. Well, the Tosfos Yishanim's question, we haven't seen the Gemara yet. But elan nirala Rebbe, the time of Mishum Sakana. So it fits in better with the context of our Gemara. Why, for the public, do we only check twice in a Yovel? He says, because it's a sakana. Shidim yivdeku tadir ye savar liday asakana ki ahu maisa dar tavon. Because if we're taking a public mezuzah, one that's seen by everybody, and we're checking it twice every 7 years, so then once again those Jews, they're acting a little strange. Their mezuzah, what is that on the? And they're taking it down and they're putting it back up again, and it's going to garner attention. And so therefore, that's why. For the public mezuzah, check it only twice in a yovel. V'am Rav Yehuda Maisa Bar Tavin. And now the Gemara says, and back to the Gemara, and Rav Yehuda says, look, there was an incident. Shaya bodek mezuzah b'shokal yon shel tzipari, where they were examining mezuzahs in the upper market of tzipari. Umatza kazdor echad, and there was a kazdor. Rashi says he's like a policeman, right? Obviously. Right, this is a belonging to the non-Jewish government. And extracted 1,000 zuz. 1,000 zuz is a large sum of money. And then the reason why he extracted so much money is for the simple reason that, what are you doing? What is that mezuzah? What are you checking? Right, we were accused of being involved in kishuf, and I guess this was like a fine. Right, he basically wrote a ticket. Right, for practicing, right, and the ticket and the citation was for trying to practice magic, right, black magic, right, as we were looking at our little papers in the front of our city gates. Okay, so again, the point the Gemara is trying to make is that we're worried about sakana, and now it's interesting because we're really taking it one step even further, meaning the idea over here that's being expressed in the Brice is that when you have the mezuzah of a city, you check it only twice in a yovel. Why? Because if you check it more often than that, more frequently than that, we're going to be accused of magic. Now we go one step further. The city of mezuzah doesn't even have mezuzah at all. Meaning because of the sakana concern, they take the mezuzahs down from the cities of mezuzah. So it's really one step even further than where the Brice is at. Also, just another point of interest. Sakana over here doesn't, I mean, at least in the story, doesn't sound like anyone's life is in jeopardy. Meaning, right here, they were fine. Now, and it was an excessive fine. That's a thousand zuz is a lot of money. Don't know how to translate that into modern dollar, but right, the ksuva is 200 zuz, which is already a substantial amount of money. So this is a ksuva times five. So it's a lot of money. So the okay, but in other words, also right, financial ruin also is a form of sakana. Again, halachically, and you know how literally to take this, I don't know, but. That's certainly the way the Gemara is presenting. The Gemara says, now I'm wondering now. You're doing a mitzvah. You're checking your mezuzah. So really, that you should be worried about sakana and fines. And isn't the mezuzah, yes, and the mitzvah. Isn't the mitzvah going to protect you? So the Gemara says, yes and no. It provides protection, but only normal protection. But if yishchich hazekah, but if the danger is real and present, so then we cannot bank on the mitzvah that you're doing. Shmuel was instructed by HaKadosh Baruch Hu, I want you to anoint a new king. The new king is going to be David HaMelech. At the time, Shaul was currently reigning. So Shmuel was afraid. And he says so. In other words, the Navi over here quotes Shmuel. How can I go? Because Shaul's going to hear this. He's going to kill me. So now, think about it. Shmuel's on route to doing a mitzvah. And here, mitzvah, we mean in the most literal way imaginable. Hashem tells him, you go to David. That is the definition of a mitzvah, a commandment of God. And Shmuel says, I'm afraid. Now, what's Hashem's response? Very revealing. Vayomer Hashem, Eglas Bakar Tikach Biyadecha Vamat Lizbruch LaHashem Bati. So HaKadosh Baruch Hu says to Shmuel, you know what, you're right, make up a story. So go take some animals and say that you're bringing a carbon. In other words, and try to do so clandestinely, and in terms of anointing David HaMelech. So what do you see from the response of HaKadosh Baruch Hu? HaKadosh Baruch Hu is basically yielding, he's acknowledging to Shmuel, you know, you're right. That's a very serious threat. So you know what, take precautions. So you see that when it's Shchiach HaZeka, when the threat is real, so we can't just simply bank on the mitzvah. So here too, we have a mezuzah, there's a requirement to put a mezuzah up, but if there's a sakana, if there's a real danger, so you can't say, oh, but it's a mezuzah, it's going to be a mitzvah, shchicha hezeka, it's a real danger, it's a present danger. Tani Rav Kahana Kameh de Rav Yehuda Beis HaTeven. Okay, so well, let's pause over here in the Gemara, just to quickly summarize. So what have we seen so far? The Parhedrin chamber is going to require mezuzah, machlokas tanayim, whether that's midarais or midarabanan. Either way, though, the mezuzah is going to go up. The entrance into the azara, either the nikanor or the sharamayim, also is going to require mezuzah. The Gemara says maybe we can learn that like Rav Yehuda as well. And it's kula chadagzerihi. And then the Gemara just went on to a discussion of the gates of mechuzah. Because we know in general, the gates of a city do require mezuzah. The gates of mechuzah did not have a mezuzah, so why not? So after giving one suggestion, the Gemara landed on the suggestion of it's a sakana, it was a danger. It posed a real danger to the Jewish people to have a mezuzah up over there, and therefore no mezuzah went up on the gates of mechuzah. Back to the Gemara. Tani Rav Kahana, we're in the middle of Yud Aleph Amud Aleph, Kameh de Rav Yehuda. So we have a braisa set over by Rav Kahana in front of Rav Yehuda. Beis HaTeven, Beis HaBakar, Beis HaEitzim, Beis HaTzaros. If I have a storehouse that stores either grain or cattle or wood or Beis HaTzaros, just any type of warehouse, so it's going to be exempt from a mezuzah. Why? Because women are neosan bahem. So women go in there, but only to literally beautify themselves. Now, what exactly does the braisa mean? So the Gemara offers an explanation. Rav Kahana. Rav Kahana is giving an explanation. Rochatzos. He says the women are bathing there. So in other words, it sounds like just the women are there putting on makeup, using it as a place to relax and unwind. But no, in other words, they're bathing over there. So that is, and as Rashi points out, take a look at Rashi. My neos and rochetzos, neos and lashon hana, umishum de makum ginaihu, sha'om do sham arumos, ain't covered shamay liosham mezuzah. Because they're bathing, so now the women are not going to be dressed in that room, and simply not covered shamayim. It's not an honor to HaKadosh Baruch Hu to place the mezuzah over there. So again, so this is now Rav Kahana's understanding of the Braisa. These warehouses are going to be exempt from mezuzah, but not because they're a warehouse, but because women are bathing over there. So Amalei Rav Yehuda time and derech sos hastama chayavas. So Rav Yehuda understands what Rav Kahana is saying. What you're saying, Rav Kahana, is that if the women were not a factor, so then it would require mezuzah. But that's strange. That's not a residential home. The Hatanya, in fact, we learned on the Bais, the Refes Bakar Peturim and a mezuzah. Refes Bakar, if I have a stable, a stall for the animals, doesn't require mezuzah, because it's not residential. So Amar La, my Neosan, Miskashtot. So Rav Yehuda is going to give his understanding of the Braisa. When the Braisa says Neosan, it doesn't mean they're bathing, it means they're just adorning themselves over there. Right? A powder room, if you will. So,
enough to become residential.
And that's not right. And the point of the Braisa is that's not enough for it to become residential. The question is fair. Let me just finish the thread because it's a long thread of Gemara coming up. So, and this is exactly the point that Bryce is making, is that even though women are using this room as a powder room, nevertheless it's going to be putter, meaning their usage of this silo warehouse, right, the storage facility, is not going to be enough to transfer it into a base dira. So now Rav Kahana is going to argue on this point. So in other words, essentially what's going on over here is we have a braisa, and we know what the braisa is saying. The braisa is saying that such a place is going to be exempt from a mezuzah, but the issue now between Rav Kahana and Rav Yehuda is why is it exempt from a mezuzah? So according to Rav Kahana, the reason why is because Nashon Neosan, which according to Rav Kahana, what does that mean? They're bathing there. So because they're bathing there, that removes the chiyuv ha-mezuzah. And Rav Yehuda says, no, just the opposite. Now, first of all, no, they're not bathing there. They're using it as a powder room. And the point the Braisa is making is that's not enough. That's not enough to convert the home into a residential area. So we have a basic machlokas now between Rav Kahana and Rav Yehuda. We know what the Braisa is saying, but why is the Braisa saying it? Why is such a storage house going to be exempt from a mezuzah?
Why does the bathing have to be a gender-specific issue? Why not the male bathing there?
It could be. In other words, he's working with the language of the Braisa. Mm-hmm. You may be right. Mm-hmm. But the Braisa just simply says, neosos. Right? Now, nashim neosos. So we're kind of saddled right now with the language of the Braisa. The Hatanya refers baka peturim and a mezuzah, v'anashim iskashos b'chayav is b'mezuzah. So the Gemara says, okay, but why don't we consider the following Braisa? This is Rav Kahana asking the question. The Braisa does really support his position. If I have refes bakar, if I have it's a stable, it's where we're keeping the cows, and women are using it also as a powder room. I grant you, it's a strange place for women to make their powder room, but chayev is b'mezuzah. But nevertheless, the point is that once it's used by the women, so therefore it's now going to be obligated to mezuzah. So Rav Kahana couldn't be any happier with such a braisa, because the braisa is essentially saying is that once it has usage, once people are using it, even though it's just women using it for a powder room, which is not really, it's not a habitat, nevertheless, that's considered enough residence, so that's required a mezuzah. So the Gemara says, in defense of Rav Yehuda, look, so I'm going to tell you that miskashtos is a machlokas tanai, meaning whether or not women are adorning themselves in such a room, is that going to make it chayv mezuzah? That's a machlokas tanai. So lididi nami stami tanaihi. So I'm of the position that for me also it's a machlokas tanai. Detanya. Gemara says a cool court another braisa. Beisecha beisecha miyuchad lachpala beisa temla beisa bakala beisa itzel beisa tzaros shepetermin a mezuzah. So the beisecha. In other words, again, there's not a lot of tarsh bechsav. Tarsh bechsav says uchsav tamam zos beisecha. It's got to be your home. So the braisa says, so if it's any storehouse, a base tevin, base bakar, base eitz, and base otzaros, it will be exempt from a mezuzah. V'yesh mechayvin, and then the Braisa says, now some obligate Be'emes Amru, and then they said, in truth they said, right, we've said every time they see the word Be'emes Amru, it means in truth, meaning everything else is not the truth. No, every time you see the word Be'emes Amru, it means this is a Davar Muskam, this is something that everyone agrees to. And what does everyone agree to? A base Akise, a base Borsiki, a base Merchatz, a base Atila, Usha Anashim Ne Osan Be'em Peturim and a Mezuzah. If I have a bath house, meaning bath and outhouse, or a base aborsiki, a house where they tan the leather. The tanning of the leather was an extraordinarily smelly job. Gemara time and again tells us that it was just the worst smell. Base amerchatz, a shvitz, and a base atvila, where it's basically a mikvah. And any place where women are adorning themselves is going to be pater from mezuzah. So that brisa now is telling us that that's the be'emes amru, that's the in truth. But prior to that, the brisa brought down a machlokas. Now Rav Kahana matarsa tame, Rav Yehuda matarsa tame. So Rav Kahana and Rav Yehuda are going to be looking at the same brisa, and each is going to be deciphering the brisa based on their position. Rav Kahana matarsa tame, and Rav Kahana, consistent with his position, beisecha, beisecha miyuchala, prachla, beis teven, or beis abakla, beis etzem, beis haotzer, shepetur, minem mezuzah, bistam. That is istam, meaning that is if it's just not being used. V'yeshem echayvim bistam. And some say that stam, it is going to be obligated. V'emes amru, beis akisa, beis aborsiki, beis amerchatz, beis atfila, v'sha anoshim ne'osam, v'em amai ne'osam, rochtzos, peturim in a mezuzah. So in other words, if it's stam, meaning there's nothing bad about it, there's nothing wrong with it, that's a machlokas tanayim. However, if once there is a foul odor or inappropriately dressed people, so then it's going to be pater for mezuzah, and that's a davar muskam. So again, so Rav Kahana is going to look at this brisa, and he'll arrive at his conclusion, which is that machlokas, whether or not these storehouses require mezuzah, but once you introduce either a foul odor or erva, makom erva, so then it's not going to be chayva mezuzah. And when the brisa talks about the women being nei osan, Rav Kahana will tell you, you know what that means? It means they're bathing. So therefore, this erevan, it's not kavod shamayim to put a mezuzah there.
You can dress in the bedroom also. I mean,
okay, but yeah, I understand that, but that's not the primary purpose of such a room. So ihachi hainu merchatz. So the Gemara says, okay, but then what's the difference between where the brisa ends off by saying nashim nei osan, and according to Rav Kahana means they're bathing? And the beginning of the brisa where it says merchatz. So ashmina merchatz the rabbin, vashmina merchatz the yachid. So the Gemara says, okay, well, maybe we could just simply say public bathhouse versus private bathhouse. This sagadach, amina merchatz the rabbin, de nafizu ama, va merchatz the yachid, ala nafizu ama ima, lechai ben mezuzah, kamash malan. You can make the argument, you could have made the argument, if it's a public bathhouse, so there's a lot of people who are undressed, there's a lot of stench, there's a lot of odor, it's a locker room. That's not bekava. That's not honorific to put a mezuzah there. But if it's just a private bathhouse or a private shvitz where it's only one person, maybe you could have made the argument that it's okay to put a mezuzah. That's the chiddush. That's the kamash malan. Okay. So what did we just do? We interpreted the entire brisa according to Rav Kahana. Again, according to Rav Kahana, it comes out that stam machlok is whether it's going to require mezuzah or not. But once there's either a foul odor or there's erva exposed in that area, so then it does not require mezuzah. Rav Yehuda matarsa tami, and Rav Yehuda will explain the same brisa, but based on his understanding. Hachi ketani, beisecha, beisecha, miyuchalach, prachla, beis teven, u beis bakar, beis etzem, beis atzar, shepetur min mezuzah, afilu miskatshot, even if women are using it as a powder house, so a powder house, a powder room, so it's going to be, according to the Tanakhama, exempt from mezuzah, v'yesh mechayvim b'mitkashtot. And some are of the opinion that no, if they're using it as a powder room, so therefore it's going to be chayv and mezuzah. Meaning, according to Rav Yehuda, what the Bryce is telling us is that as long as there's some usage of this warehouse, storage house, outhouse, not outhouse, but warehouse or storage house, as long as there's some usage, even if it's women using it as a powder room, that's enough, according to one opinion, to be mechayv and mezuzah. Avastam divrei hakol pater. But if it has no use whatsoever, stam, so then there's no disagreement.
No, no,
Everyone agrees it's going to be exempt from mezuzah. And be'amisamru beis akisa beis aborsiki beis amerchatz beis atfila afapi shehanoshim miskashot b'hem b'turim mezuzah mishum denafizu amei. And then the be'amisamru is telling us that once you have either a shvitz or a tefillah, even though women are using it as a powder room, it's not going to be chayv in a mezuzah. Okay. Now, Ula Rav Yehuda, Stama Divrei Hakol Pater V'Hatanya B'Sharecha. So, I'm sorry. That's okay. Adkan, meaning so far, what we have now is a basic machlokas between Rav Kahana and Rav Yehuda, and their machlokas will result in how they understand a number of braisas. It comes out now that according to Rav Kahana, Stam, if I have a warehouse, a storage house, it's going to be chayv and mezuzah, and only if we introduce something which is unpleasant, either an odor or erva, so then not kavod shamayim, we don't put mezuzah up there. That's all according to Rav Kahana. Rav Yehuda goes, no, if it's stam, so it's not going to be chayv and mezuzah, and only if there's usage, then, at least according to one opinion, it's going to be chayv and mezuzah. Ula Rav Yehuda stam adivrei hakol pater. Now it comes out that according to Rav Yehuda, if I have a warehouse, a storage house, and it's not used at all, there's no human usage, so that means that according to Rav Yehuda, nobody's going to say it's chayv in a mezuzah. V'atanya, the Gemara says, well, let's consider the following. We're 2 lines from the bottom of the Amud. Bishar echad echad shari batim echad shari chatzers v'echad shari medinas v'echad shaye ayaros. And now the rest of the brice is going to present a problem. The refes v'lulin umat bein v'otzos yayin v'otzos shemen chayv in a mezuzah. These storage houses, either you're storing cattle, or chickens, or wheat, or wine, or oil, yes, any one of these storage houses are going to be chayv and mezuzah. So now, according to Rav Kahana, no problem. Because Rav Kahana says that stam warehouse is going to be chayv and mezuzah. The problem is according to Rav Yehuda, because Rav Yehuda says that if there is no residential usage of such a facility, everyone, according to Rav Yehuda, says that it's going to be exempt from a mezuzah. Let's just finish the braisa. Yachol sha'ani mar be'af beis shar achsadra umir peses tamalomer bais ma bais miuchad ledira yaso elu she'im yuchadim ledira. What if it's a beis shar? Rashi describes the beis shar as like a really small house in front of the gate. It's like a gatehouse. But no one's living there. Or a mir peset, right, some sort of balcony, but it's like a not part of a house. Like it's an own independent balcony. That's not a bias. It's not a residential area. It's not designed for residential use, and therefore it's not going to be chayv in mezuzah. Yatzo elu shem yuchad ledira yachol shani mar be'av beis akisa beis aborsiki beis amerchatu beis atvila. What about rooms that are used for people to undress? Tamalomer bais, my bais asur lekavod, I've called asur lekavod. Yatzu elu shein asur lekavod. These are not nasus lekavod. They're not made for the purposes of honor. Shani marbe, I'm sorry. Yochel shani marbe harabayis v'alishkos v'azaros. Well, what about harabayis? What about all the chambers in the base of Mikdash? What about the azara? What about the courtyard in the base of Mikdash? Tamalomer bais, my bais shuchol af kol shuhu chol. So the Gemara says no, because the requirement of mezuzah is only on places which are chol, not kodesh. Yatsu elu shein kodesh. Okay, what comes out from this entire discussion? In other words, this braisa that we just quoted, it tells us what? In other words, right, it was a long end to the braisa. But go back to the beginning of the braisa. Look at the bottom of Yud Aleph Amud Aleph. What was included in that which requires a mezuzah? Refes, lulin, matbein, otzor shayin, otzor shemen. According to this braisa, it's chayv mezuzah. And there was no qualifier. There's no word that says, but that's only if women use it as a powder room. It doesn't say that. It just simply says that they're obligated mezuzah. So at least we have now proven, we have identified, that there is a braisa, there is a Tana who says that stam, these warehouses, these storehouses, are going to require mezuzah. Therefore, what does the Gemara say to Yufta? Meaning, it's a kasha on Rav Yehuda. Because Rav Yehuda was of the opinion that stam, no one's going to tell you that's required a mezuzah. And now we just showed a braisa that it's stam, and it is in fact required a mezuzah. Right, it's basically a storage room. Yeah, there is a chiyuv to put a mezuzah up on your garage door. Again, there's going to be a lot of Yeah, I was going to say, there's also, it's another way of accessing the house, so it could also be a beishar. Look, there's going to be a lot of halachic questions, as I point out a number of times. I'm not the person. Meaning, I'm good for going over the Gemara, right, and just good at that, not great. But the but in terms of all your halachic inquiries, you go to your local rav. Yeah, right. Your local Orthodox rabbi. Okay, back to the Gemara. We're on Yud Aleph Amud Beis. Okay, we are continuing to Tani Rav Shmuel Bar Yehuda Kamei de Rava. Shisha Sharm Peter Min HaMezuzah. Okay, six gates which are going to be exempt from a mezuzah. Now, keep counting. Keep a good number, because as you'll see, it's not going to be six. It's going to be, I think, one more. So, Beis HaTevin, Beis HaBakar. So, the gate entering that enters into your storehouse, the gate that goes into your stall for cows. Beis HaEitzim, entrance to storage of wood. Beis HaOtzaros, again, just a general warehouse. Sharham, how are we going to pronounce it? Madai, I guess. Okay, well, I'll describe that in just a moment. And Shar She'eno Makura, and a gate that doesn't have a lintel on the top. Vishar She'eno Gova Yud, and a gate that does not, that's not 10 tefachim high. Meaning a gate, by very definition, has to be minimum 10 tefachim high. I mean, if it's not 10 tefachim high, I mean, just to even get through that gate would be very difficult. 10 tefachim high is somewhere between 30 to 40 inches high. It's about 3 feet off the ground. So, and a gate that's lower than that does not require a mezuzah. Fine. So, now, right now, that's fine. Meaning, because Rav Yehuda's point is, Rav Kahana's point that it is a machlokas. Meaning, Rav Kahana says, Rav Kahana wasn't arguing that's divrei hakol. Rav Kahana was just simply saying that that's a machlokas. What Rav Yehuda was arguing is that nobody says that a base tevin requires a mezuzah. If I could just add to your point, meaning this would be another brisa, which would be another tiyufta to Rav Yehuda. That I think is accurate. Okay. In the meantime, however, so six different entrances that do not require mezuzah. Fine. What's not fine, however, is that the brisa. First of all, I left one I didn't define one of them, the Shar HaMadai. I'll come back to that in just a moment. But in the meantime, however, not six, seven. There are seven over here. So we just went through a list of seven. So the Gemara is bothered by that very problem. So Amalei Pitachtu B'Shisha V'Saka B'Shiva. You open up by saying, here's a list of six, and then what did you do? Here's seven. Okay, so in other words, what, a baker's dozen? I mean, what's going on over here? Amalei Shar HaMadai Tanahi. So he says, well, one of them is controversial, so I'm telling you that six are unanimous. Everyone agrees that six of them do not require a mezuzah, and then number seven does require a mezuzah. One of them is subject to a machlokus, a controversy, detanya, because we learned in a braisa. Okay, now, here's basically what's about to happen. What is about to happen over here is that the Gemara is going to tell us that, under certain circumstances, we're going to have a machlokus tanayim, whether or not it is or is not going to require mezuzah. If all this is going to sound familiar, it should, because we've seen this machlokus in Shabbos, in Erevin. Oddly enough, by the way, in Erevin, which daf was in Erevin? Daf Yud Aleph. So it's easy to remember. Erevin Yud Aleph, easy to remember. I mean, you know, just keep going over it. Erevin Yud Aleph, Yuma Yud Aleph. Okay, so this discussion has found its way on two Daf Yud Alephs. And the discussion revolves around the following. Look, in order to be a door, you have to have minimum dimensions. There's a shear. Like in many halachas. What's the shear of a doorway? So we already know that the vertical is 10 tefachim high. It has to be that the doorway has to be minimum 10 tefachim high. What about width? 4 tefachim wide. It's a minimum width of a doorway. Again, if you just want to think about it into practical terms, it's really not a big doorway. Right? 10 tefachim high, somewhere between 30 and 40 inches, so I'll just ballpark it. That's 3 feet off the ground. It's a yard high. That's height. That's a vertical. And then in terms of the width, so we're talking about 4 tefachim. 4 tefachim is 12 inches, 9 to 12 inches. Let's say it's a foot wide. Okay, so obviously it's a very small doorway. But that's the minimum. 10 tefachim high, 4 tefachim wide. Yeah. Correct. Correct. Right, and of course, right, needs side posts, it needs a lintel on the top, fine. Okay, good. That's easy. So if it's a rectangular shape and it has those minimum dimensions, it's chayv in a mezuzah. Again, as long as it's opening up into a residential home. Again, that's fine. That's understood. Here's where it's going to get tricky, and here's where there's going to get a machlokas. What if it's not a rectangular shape, but let's say it is a shape of what the Gemara here refers to as a kippah? A kippah means it's a dome.
Dome shape.
Right. Kippah literally means a dome.
Arch.
Right. It's an arch. That's the word I was looking for. Thank you. So it's shaped like an arch. But when I say arch over here, don't think St. Louis. Don't think an archway. In other words, it's not just simply a line going across, meaning it's a big block, it's a block of wall, and an archway is cut into the block. So that now, at the base of the archway, it's 4 tefachim wide. But now, as the archway is coming up, it narrows, so that now the vertical, as you get up, is now going to be less than 4 tefachim wide. If I were to draw a plumb line from the top of the archway down to the bottom, it's 10 tefachim. So vertically speaking, it's good. The problem is that it's not 4 tefachim all the way up to the top of the 10 tefachim point. Is this going to require a mezuzah, yes or no? Now, just to say it outside, and then we'll see it inside the Gemara, this is predicated on a basic machlokas between Rav Meir and the Chachamim of a concept known as chokikin lahashlim. What's the concept of chokikin lahashlim? If I have wall where I could carve out the wall so that it could be a rectangular shape, so that from bottom to top, it's 4 tefachim wide, so then according to one viewpoint, I will look at the walls if it's carved out, even though it's not actually carved out yet. This is the concept of chokikin lahashlim. As we'll see in just a moment, Rav Meir subscribes to such a viewpoint, and therefore Rav Meir will tell you that even though the top of the archway is not 4 tefachim wide, but as long as the base is 4 tefachim wide, and as long as there's walls that I could carve it out, Ramir says, it's chayv mezuzah. And the Chachamim are going to disagree. Okay, I just outlined the Gemara coming up ahead. Let's see all this inside. So the Gemara says again, we have a list of seven entrances that do not require mezuzah. And the Gemara just wondered, why did you say six when the number is really seven? And the Gemara says, because one of them is subject to a machlokas tanaim, and that's the Shar HaMadai. What is the Shar HaMadai? Detanya, we're now in the middle of Yud Aleph Amud Beis. First we're in the line, Detanya, we learned in a Braisa. Kippah, if I have an arch, Rabbi Meir Mechayv, and this is a Chachamim Potrim. So Rabbi Meir says, Yechayv, and the Chachamim are Potrim. Vishavim. So the Gemara says, before we get to the machlokas, let's talk about where they agree. They agree, Shim Yesh Baraglas, Sarah Shechayv Ebbe Mezuzah. If it's 10 in height, it's going to be Chayv Ebbe Mezuzah. I'm Rabbi, Dekola Amagoba Yud Ve'in Baragla Gimel V'lav Klomi. Look, if the bottom three Tfachim are not going to go four Tfachim from end to end, Inam Yesh Baragla Gimel Ve'in Agoba Yud, or let's say it doesn't go from bottom to top 10 tefachim high, lav klumhi. We all agree that that's not good. Meaning, it has to be that the base is 4 tefachim wide, and the height from the top of the arch to the bottom is 10 tefachim. If not, then there's nothing even to talk about. Ella lo nechlegu ella begova yud v'yesh baragla gimel. V'ein barach v'dalet. V'yesh balachok lahashlima. The machlokus, the makom where they argue, is we're going to be in a scenario where from the top of the archway to the bottom is 10 tefachim. The base of the doorway is 4 tefachim wide. That base continues up 3 tefachim at 4 tefachim wide. Why does it have to be 3 tefachim? Because anything less than that's going to be loved, and it's just not going to be considered a base. So therefore, I need the base of the door, meaning the bottom, to be 4 tefachim wide, and that has to be true at least 3 tefachim up. After that, the walls start to slant in. The walls are starting to come in because shaped like an arch. Now, under these circumstances, there is wall, and I could carve out the wall. So is it going to require mezuzah? That's the machlokas. Ve'en barach v'dal v'yish balachok lahashlim al-arba, Rameir sav ha-chokik lahashlim, v'rabban and savri, ein chokikin lahashlim. So the Gemara says, that's the machlokas between Rameir and the Chachamim. So basically, out of respect of the machlokas between Rameir and the Chachamim, so the Braisa didn't want to say the number seven, because by the seventh gate, meaning the archway, not everyone agrees that it's chayv and a mezuzah. Tanu Rabban, let's go a little bit further for today. Beis HaKnesses, Beis HaIsha, Beis HaShutrim, chayav and b'mezuzah. A Beis HaKnesses. Now it's funny, we've been saying up until now, A shul does not require a mezuzah. So we'll talk that out in just a moment. But a beis ha'isha, let's say the occupancy of this house is a woman, or beis ha'shutvim, or let's say partners own the house, or in all these scenarios, it's going to be chayiv in a mezuzah. Now, pshita ma detema beisachav lo batehem kamash malan. So the Gemara says, well, why would you have thought differently? The Gemara says, I'll tell you why I would have thought differently. Because the Torah says, uchsatam amezuz beisecha. Beisecha is a language of masculine. I might have thought that in this case, masculine means to the exclusion of women, meaning. Okay, but it could be. You're right. It could be though that the plural is talking about men, maybe. So anyway, so beisecha v'lobateim kamash malan. So the Gemara says, I might have thought that the beisecha is male as an exclusion to female. So the Gemara says, no, we're not going to say that. The Gemara says, why not? Ve'ema hachinami, why not? Maybe we should say that. Because if you look immediately after the pasuk of uchsavtam amazos beisecha, it's the Torah says, and what do you gain by putting up a mezuzah? Longevity. The Torah says that you're going to have ribu yamim. You're going to have longer days. So honey by a chai, if a honey lo by chai, Gemara is almost like offering a svara. The Gemara is offering an argument. Well, let's think about this. Men want to live, but women don't want to live. No, both want to live. Everyone would like to live a long life. So Allah. So the Gemara says, based on this, it's clear that even if the house is owned by women or by partners, it's going to be chayv in a mezuzah. So ela beisecha lamali. So then, why does the Torah say amazos beisecha? Kederava damarava derech biascha, because it tells us what side of the doorpost to put the mezuzah, and that's derech biascha as upon entrance. Now, upon entrance means which side, right side or left side? The Gemara is going to explain. V'chi akar inish kare de yamina akar bereisha, because when you take your best step forward, so which foot do you step with first or generally? You're right. So meaning that when you're right in the front of a house, stopped, and you're about to enter into a house, so your right side's going to go in first. So your right foot's going to go in first, and presumably your right hand is going to go in first.
Because the door open like this.
Right, right. Understood. No. Okay. So anyway, so that's
maybe
the... Maybe. Derech biascha, that's the entrance. That's what we learn from the word beisecha, and the word biascha. Okay, quickly to recap. Okay, today's daf was a daf dedicated to the topic of mezuzah. Again, it comes up because the Parhedrin did have a mezuzah. And so, as long as the Gemara got to discuss mezuzah, the Gemara used the opportunity to discuss mezuzah for the duration of today's daf. The first part of today's daf was dedicated to the topic of why doesn't the city of Mechuzah have a mezuzah around? The Gemara gave a couple of explanations, but the one that it felt to be the most the most secure explanation is going to be because your house does not have, I'm sorry, the sakana. It poses a danger. Then the Gemara went on to discuss which houses are going to have requirements and which not. Residential usage of a house, meaning let's say it's primarily a warehouse but it has residential use, is that going to require mezuzah? That is subject to machlokas between Rav Yehuna and Rav Kahana. Their machlokas continued all the way to the Amud Beis as they were going over different braisos. The Gemara ended up pointing out that Rav Yehuda does not seem to be correct, meaning Rav Yehuda seems to be negated, as we did find a braisa that says that even if it's non-residential use, but if it's a warehouse, it's going to require a mezuzah. And then the Gemara won't point out that there were 6/7 different entrances that are not going to require a mezuzah, and the one that's controversial, the seventh one, is going to be an archway that is not a rectangular shape, but rather thin on the top. Is that going to require a mezuzah? And that's predicated on the topic of chokikin lahashlam. Okay, we'll stop.